Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Tess.
So to start off with, just how much of the earth and wildlife has actually been displaced by roads?
It's a lot. It's a little bit hard to get a good picture on it because we don't know actually where a lot of the roads are. When you start looking in developing nations, we probably, for instance, we did a study in the Brazilian Amazon, and we found 3 kilometers of illegal road, which were completely unmapped, for every 1 kilometer of legal road. So that's one of the things that we're struggling with, is trying to figure out where the roads are. Bottom line figures, a lot of the world is being affected by roads now. There's not a lot of places left. A recent study came out and found that roads, using very incomplete data, currently appear to have chopped up nature into about 600,000 fragments. And only a small fraction of those, less than 7%, were greater than 100 square kilometers in area. So, you know, basically roads have emerged as probably the biggest human enemy to nature conservation on the planet.
So what effects do the building of roads actually have on nature and wildlife?
It depends where you are. But sadly, in a lot of the world, especially the really biologically and environmentally important parts of the world, which I'm thinking here of the tropics and the subtropics, which are mostly in developing nations, what you oftentimes see when a road's built is kind of a Pandora's box of problems happening. You can get an influx of hunters and illegal miners and land colonization, fires, habitat destruction. Again, for instance, in the Amazon, we found that about 95% of all the deforestation occurs within about 5 kilometers of roads. In the Congo Basin recently, it's been shown that the influx of logging roads there, on top of the fact that you've got the poachers using much more lethal technologies like automatic rifles and cable snares, have wiped out, killed off about 2/3 of all the living forest elephants just in the last 10 years. So it's kind of this global tsunami, and it's kind of a quiet tsunami that many people don't realize is going on. About 90% of the roads that are going to be built in the next 3 decades or so are going to be built in developing nations, which is really the biologically most important real estate on the planet. So I think what we're seeing now is a dramatic change of many of the world's wild places. In fact, this is probably the biggest threat to wilderness on Earth and will be in the future, and it's certainly going to be the biggest threat to the wildlife species that many of us care about.
So what about roads that have already been built? Do they have the same sort of impacts?
They can. It depends, again, where you are. In places like Australia, where the rule of law is strong, you don't tend to get a lot of illegal activity. You can certainly get it. Roads change everything. They change the economics. They change the human dynamics. They shift everything. So, say in Australia, you might get a lot of legal development going on. In other places, lots and lots of illegal activities. So whether a road sort of over the longer term continues to have impact depends on the local situation, but it's not uncommon. The analogy I sometimes use is with cancer. If you look at things like deforestation grows a lot like a cancer. It's very contagious. So you got one area of deforestation, and you get more deforestation blooming off of that. So when you put a first road in, you tend to get deforestation growing like a series of tumors along that first road. And then you can get secondary roads coming off of the first road, and then other roads branching off of that. And then the tumor spreads. And so you tend to get this very contagious but spatially distributed pattern of deforestation, very strongly affected by that initial road. So the thing that we say is, if you can possibly do it, just keep the roads out. Avoid the first cut into any wild place that you want to conserve, because there's no such thing as having a little bit of cancer. If you've got cancer, even a bit of cancer, you've got cancer. And because roads tend to do this again and again, really keeping the roads out in the first place is by far and away the most efficient strategy to try to avoid the cancer of habitat destruction and illegal mining, deforestation, fires, logging, wildlife poaching, the whole Pandora's box of things that tend to happen in many of these frontier places.
So in terms of when we actually do have to go about building roads, could more forethought and better planning actually prevent any of these negative effects?
Yeah, that's one of the things that we've been really arguing is, in fact, if you look around much of the world, even in the industrial countries, roads are being put in a lot of places that they just shouldn't go. I mean, if you actually had good environmental data and if you had good planning, you'd say there's no way you should be putting a road into this particular place. And there's enormous prospects for better planning, better management of road activities. Then you get again in developing countries and the situation is much more chaotic. So, you know, there's a lot of places we can put roads or improve roads to do things like improve food production, improve agriculture, improve human livelihoods, rural livelihoods, that type of thing. But what we don't want to do is to see all this expansion of roads into places like, you know, the Congo Basin, the Amazon Basin, Borneo, other places where there's still forested areas. You really want to try to minimize that as much as you possibly can because of this incredible phenomenon of this, you know, this horrible Pandora's box effect that happens again and again. Greenhouse gases, I mean, you know, I can just rattle on about all the bad things that tend to happen when roads go in the wrong places. But I think that's probably the key thing to us is that if we can try to get better planning. Now, it's a tough issue. It's an uphill battle because a lot of us have been programmed, often by sort of economists, to say roads are good. You know, roads anywhere are good. And the problem is in some places roads are good, but in other places roads are really bad, especially bad for nature.
And just before we do let you go, Bill, I mean, I think as well it's going to be dependent on where you are in the world, but is it too late to make any significant change to how we actually build roads in order to save our land?
I hope not, because if it is, I've been wasting my time for the last 10 or 15 years. You know, we've been yelling at the top of our lungs about this for a long time. We've had quite a big impact in places like Brazil, in the Amazon Basin, where we've been working there. We're working a lot in Indonesia now, Malaysia, Papua New Guinea, also some in Africa. And we're trying the best we can to work with governments to talk about better road planning. And, you know, governments are interested in having these discussions. They don't want to see wanton destruction of their natural resources and their natural environment. So, of course, they also want to improve the livelihoods of their people and have better connection between their cities and villages, all that type of thing. So it's trying to achieve the positives and minimize the negatives, and it's never easy. But we're doing the best we can to connect with governments, with planners, with the right kinds of ministries that are involved in these decisions, and also talk to the general public, which is why we like talking with people like you and your audience. Talk to the general public about these issues and why they're really important. I would actually say, you know, as you noted in your preamble, it's probably the hidden environmental crisis that we tend not to think about. It's probably the biggest thing that we're doing to nature, and we don't tend to think of road building as that problem. But in fact, it's that silent, knife slicing through the night and really having a tremendous impact on the natural world. It's probably the number one thing that's determining the pattern and the pace of habitat destruction and mortality and impacts on wildlife than just about anything else that humans are doing.
Well, Bill, onward and upward, I guess, and hopefully some changes will be made very, very soon. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Tess. Pleasure.